Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. My name is Albie. If I haven't met you before, it's great to have you here. And can I especially welcome you if it's your first time with us or you've joined us recently? It's great to have you here at Barney's. And so we hope that you get to keep coming along, get to meet more of us, and keep hearing from God's Word. Now, on the next slide, I've got a picture here of a game that our kids used to play when they were younger. It's a game called Guess What I Am. It's a little bit like Celebrity Heads. It's got these cardboard cutouts, and you put your face through them. And so you look like that particular picture there. You can't see what you are. A clown, a cowboy, and there's animals as well. There's a pig, a snake, an octopus. And so you've got your head through this cardboard cutout, and you take turns asking questions. And the idea is you guess who you are, you guess what you are. Now, that's kind of what's going on in today's passage, trying to work out who are you. Now, we've been looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, as we saw 2 weeks ago. This is a letter written by the Apostle Peter. He's a friend of Jesus. He was there from the very beginning. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He saw Jesus die and rise again. It's that Peter. And he's writing to Jews and Gentiles, people who aren't Jewish, who have become Christian in modern-day Turkey, in chapter 1, verse 2. And we're going to see a little bit later as we work our way through this letter that it is hard for them to stand up as Christians. They are suffering. They are being persecuted for being Christians. And it's easier to go back to the old way of living. It'd be easier to be just like everyone else. And so in the passage that was read out for us, Peter wants to remind the Christians, this is who you are. This is what you are. And for us here today, we need to hear this as much as they did. And it's going to come down to one big thing. It's there in verse 15. Be holy. Be holy. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, as a chapter, it's a little bit like a masterpiece where you can look at the whole thing and there's all these details that you can pull out. And if we did that, we can actually break this into a number of different sermons. What I'm hoping to do today is not to go through a number of different sermons, but to actually draw together some of the threads there and to see what some of the themes are. And in particular, that we're called to be different, to be holy. Now, as we take a look at this chapter, why don't we pray and ask that God might be with us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We pray, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to see here in your word who we are, what we are, and how we are to live because of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, take a look at verse 15. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you as we take a look at different parts of this passage. Verse 15 says this, "Be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Now, hopefully that verse is familiar to you. If you've been here during the year, we looked at that in Leviticus. Be holy, because I am holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? Now, maybe you've got that picture of a stained glass window in mind, or so somebody who's holy there, somebody who looks blissfully peaceful. They've got that golden plate, that halo behind them. That's not the picture that we get here of what it means to be holy. To be holy means being different, being set apart. That's what it means to be holy. Holy, it's set apart, it's different. It's different from all the other scissors that we have at home. It has a black handle. It lives in the top drawer in the kitchen. You see, unlike all the other scissors that we have at home, this pair of scissors has one job. It cuts raw meat. No other scissors does that except for this pair. This pair of scissors with black handle and lives in the top drawer, it is holy. It's set apart. It has a particular purpose. Now, my wife is sitting at the front. She is holy. Ever since the day that we got married, she's my wife and only my wife. She's not free to marry anyone else. She's different from every other woman who comes to this church. She's set apart for me and me for her. That's what it means to be holy, to be different, to be set apart. And so what God says, and when God says in verse 16, when he says to us, be holy, he's saying, be different. You are set apart for him. And so don't just be like the rest of the world around us. Don't just be like everyone else, the family who lives next door, the person you sit next to at work, your old schoolmates. If you're someone who calls yourself a follower of Jesus, be holy, be different, set apart. And Peter gives us every reason to be different. It's because of who we are. It's because of what we are. That game that we started at the beginning with the cardboard cutouts, except this cardboard cutout comes from God's word. This is what God says to us in 1 Peter. And so I want to spend some time looking at three things about who we are, and then at the very end to take a look briefly at what does it look like to be holy. And so who are you? What are you? Three things. The first thing we see actually comes from verse 17. You are precious. You are precious. If I was to ask you, how much are you worth? What would you say? How much are you worth? Now, there's a few ways that we can work that out. Maybe you could sit down with your calculator or your spreadsheet and add up all the assets that you have, your car, your house, your bank account. Is that how much you're worth? You could see how much money you earn and compare it to the person next to you. And so one person earns $70,000, another person earns $170,000. Maybe one of them is better than the other person or worth more, which, can I just say, is a terrible way to think about it, even though I suspect a lot of people do. Here's another way to work out how much you're worth. How much is someone willing to pay for you? How much is someone willing to pay for you? Warren Rodwell was an English teacher from Sydney, and he lived in the Philippines. But on December 5, 2011, he was kidnapped by militants in the Philippines. He was held hostage for 1 year and 3 months. And during all that time, he was living in the jungle, moving from place to place so the authorities couldn't find him. He was shot. He was hungry. He nearly died. And he thought that the outside world had forgotten about him, and so he was getting ready for death. But then, 15 months later, March 23, his wife got a loan from the bank, sold the car, sold the water filling station that they owned, and she paid the kidnappers to set him free. It cost $93,600. That's what he was worth, according to the kidnappers. $93,600. Now, that's a pretty accurate calculation. How much are you worth? How much is someone willing to pay for you? Well, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, how much did God pay for you? Did you see what it said in verse 18? Let me just pull that up. It was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Do you see how much God paid to redeem us, to buy us back, to rescue us from an empty way of life, a life without God, a life under God's judgment and anger? It cost God his son. $93,600 is nothing. All the gold and silver in the world is nothing. The precious blood of Jesus, his son. That's how much God thinks you are worth. And did you see in verse 20, that was God's plan even before the creation of the world, even before Adam and Eve sinned, before we did anything good, before we did anything that was of note or value or significance. It was always God's plan that Jesus was going to die for you and for me. Now, friends, that is incredible grace. God says, because of his love, because of his crazy generosity, this is who you are. You are precious. You're precious to God. And do you see how that's actually connected with how we live in verse 17? All the way through this passage, there's linking words, therefore, for, because of this. In verse 17, live as foreigners in reverent fear. Live as foreigners. This is not your home. In other words, don't be like everyone else around you. Be different, be holy, because you've been redeemed and you are precious. That's the first thing. Who are we? We're precious. And here's the second thing. Who are you? What are you? If you belong to Jesus, you are born again. Now, we saw that 2 weeks ago when we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We've been given new birth into a living hope. And it's here again in verse 23. Let me read it out. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Now, this idea of new birth, it's not just a clean start. It's not just a better life, a chance to do it all over again. This is a life that is radically new, a whole new dimension. Our natural state, our current life, is perishable. We die. But the life that God gives us is imperishable. It is eternal life. Now, I've come to realize that in all of my wisdom, one of the best gifts that you can buy for your partner is an orchid. It's in a pot. It's got beautiful flowers, but the reason why it's such a great gift is that it lasts. When you buy a bunch of flowers, they look great for around a week, but then they start wilting and dying. The water goes a little bit smelly if you don't change it. But actually, when you buy them, they're already dead. It's just a while for it to catch up. But an orchid, it lasts for months, years if you're lucky. It's great. But as good as an orchid is, it won't last because it is perishable. It comes from perishable seed. Now, the oldest tree in the world is almost 5,000 years old. That is pretty old. It's called the Methuselah tree from Genesis. This is an ancient tree, and even if there was one planted today, even that one is going to fade away because the seed is perishable. We've been born again through the word of God. We've been born of imperishable seed. God's word lasts forever, and the life that he gives us will last forever. Now, that is a great thing, especially when the things of this world, they don't last. It's a great thing, especially when the things of this world, when things are hard, when things don't go the way that you want them to, that God gives us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Who are you? What are you? In Jesus, you are precious. In Jesus, you are born again, imperishable. And here's the last thing. You are family. You are God's family. Now, it's pretty easy to miss, but it's there in verse 14, where Peter says, as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires that you once had. You are obedient children. Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, God is our father, and we can call him that. We looked at the Lord's Prayer where we can say, Abba, Father, our Father in heaven. Do you see who you are here? If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. God is your father. Jesus is your brother. You are family. And so, be obedient. Live out your time as foreigners, verse 17, in reverent fear. Not in terror, because he's your father, but with deep respect, out of reverence. In other words, because you are in the family, be holy, just like your father is. Now, it was quite a few years back. I was driving the car with Chloe. I mentioned to Chloe that I was going to say the story. She was around 4 or 5 years old, so a lot smaller than she is now. And as I was driving in the car, it was just me and her, she said to me, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. It was the sweetest thing to say, sweetest thing in the world to hear as a father, just me and my little girl in the car. And to milk that moment, I asked her, why? Why do you want to be like Daddy? As I go fishing for a compliment. And you know what she said? She said, I want to be like you because I want to drive. Now, it was not quite the answer I was looking for, but that's what kids are like. Well, at least that's what my kid was like. Generally, children, they want to be like their parents. They want to be like mum or like dad, because when you're a kid, your parents are the greatest person in the world. Now, the great thing is, as we come to the Bible, our Heavenly Father, he genuinely is the greatest person in the world. And Peter says, be just like him. Be like your Father. Verse 15. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Now that brings us back to the start, doesn't it? God wants us to be absolutely clear who we are, what we are. As we look at this passage, it says, you are precious, redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. You are imperishable, born again, eternal life. You are family, God's family. And so be holy, because you're not like the rest of the world. You have been given incredible privileges, and so be different. Live that out. Be holy. Back in university, I had a friend called David. He was a smart guy. He got his PhD in something scientific that I don't understand. After slaving away for 3 years to get his PhD, he finally got it. After finishing uni, he went to work in a factory, process worker, working on the production line, doing the same thing over and over again. He was ridiculously overqualified. Now, it wasn't because he couldn't get another job. It was because he was going to go to Bible college. And he wanted to work in a church where most people were blue-collar workers. And so he wanted to get a job like them. Now, the world says that is crazy. He's got the world at his feet. He can live up to whatever he wants. He can get the dream job, buy the big house, reach his potential. That's what the world would do. But David was different. He was holy. What's that going to look like for you? I used to meet up with a guy in the city to read the Bible. And he was saying how pornography was a problem for him. Not an easy conversation to have, but he wanted to be holy. To be different, set apart for God. What is it going to look like for you? There's a few things that come out of this passage about what does it look like to be holy, and I just want to touch on a few of them. It's going to affect your hopes and dreams. Do you see that in verse 13? Peter says, set your hope on the grace that's going to be brought to you when Jesus comes. Set your hope on what Jesus is going to do when he comes back again. That is what our hopes and desires should be based on. Is your heart set on this world? You're chasing after the here and now, what this world has to offer. The bigger house, the better job, the better life. Is your career a bigger driver in your life than Jesus is? Live out your time here as foreigners, verse 17. Are we the same as everyone else or radically different? That's what my friend David was doing. How about us? What is that going to look like? It's going to affect who you love. In verse 22, love each other deeply from the heart. They say that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And so as you look around the people in front of you, behind you, that's your family. God's family, and so love them. It means spending time with them, caring for them, encouraging them. You don't just disappear as soon as you can because you've got better things to do. At the same time, you don't treat people robotically, like they're customers. I'm just going to serve people as they come through. The way you love and serve your family, do you do that at church? That is a big thing, to love. The last one, it's going to affect your godliness, like it did for my friend that I used to meet up with in the city. Verse 14, are there evil desires you're still giving into? Chapter 2, verse 1, there's a list of things to get rid of. Malice, deceit, envy, hypocrisy. What are some of the other things that we need to wrestle with that we would add to that list? Greed, being self-centered, being judgmental. 1 Peter 1 is like a mirror. This is who we are. You are precious to God. You have been born again, eternal life, a place in God's family. And so be holy, completely and utterly set apart for God. I keep asking that question, what is that going to look like for you? Because this passage is actually saying, go and do something. Respond to who you are. Maybe you're here and you need to come to God in the first place. Maybe you actually need to start putting your trust in Jesus. You've been coming along for a while, maybe for the first time. If that's you, it's great to have you with us. It's great to be able to come along to hear what the Bible says. You might like to thank God for what he's done and ask that God becomes your God and that he changes you to have new birth. I suspect for most of us, we've already done that. And so for us, instead of looking at what the world says, instead of looking at what your situation is, look at the mirror that God gives us here and be holy. In your hopes, your love, your area of life, what is that going to look like for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us and that it is a mirror to show us who we are because of Jesus. Thank you that we are precious, that we belong to you, that you have given us new birth. Lord, that you have made us and shaped us. We pray, Lord, that we might live as people who belong as your family. Help us to understand who we are and what we are. And so because of that, that we might be holy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.